No score last of the 10th. Alejandro Pena leaning in to take the sign now from Greg Olson. There's the set. And his first pitch to Larkin. Swung on. There it is. A long fly ball into left center field. And it is going to be a hit for Gene Larkin. Gladden scores. And once again, the Minnesota Twins are baseball's world champions for the second time in 5 years. It's the world champion Minnesota Twins, and the crowd loves it. The Twins celebrating on the field as they have regained baseball's world championship. What a series this was with the Atlanta Braves. Gene Larkin driving a fly ball to deep left center. No chance for either the left fielder Hunter or the center fielder Gant to catch it. And the crowd still going wild. No doubt about it, when Gene Larkin hit that ball, it was going to be out of the reach of either Hunter or Gant. And Gladden being mobbed when he crossed home plate. The Twins getting a run on two hits. They left three on in that 10th inning.
Well, one thing that is a bit different from 87 here in 91, Tom Kelly, the manager of the Minnesota Twins, is on the field. Remember, in 87, he stayed in the dugout. All the players are out hugging each other, along with the coaches and manager Tom Kelly. He's not in the midst of the biggest huddle of the Twins players, but he is out there, and he's hugging all the rest. As the Twins celebrate this world championship.
Twins still on the field. Yes. Celebration calming down a little bit, but not so much from the crowd standpoint. They still love it. Gene Larkin, who had had a sore knee for some time, but unable to play on a regular basis, became a hero tonight with that base hit to score Dan Gladden with a winning run. Now here's Tom Kelly running back to the dugout, waving his hat to the crowd.
He gets a big hug from his son as he gets to the dugout. Very emotional moment. Now many of the Twins players' wives are joining out in the infield. This crowd is just going absolutely wild. And Herb, not to be lost in all of this, and it has just been announced that Jack Morris is the World Series most valuable player. Was without question one of the grittiest pitching performances ever in the history of the World Series by the 36-year-old veteran right-hander Jack Morris. Just amazing.
I don't remember when the last time in a World Series a starting pitcher went more than 9 innings, but he came out there for the 10th. I think you might have had to take a 20 mule team to get him out of that game. But he pitched 3 great games. He had 1 no decision, although he gave up just a run in 6 innings. And Jack Morris, in 22 innings against the Braves, 23 innings, allowed only 3 runs, He was doing more or as much celebrating as anybody. And this is the second time that he's been on the World Championship team. He was with the Tigers World Champions in 84. But I'm sure there was no drama that could even approach this World Series when Morris was with the Tigers. They beat the Padres 4 out of 5.
Well, as the Twins celebrate, let's give a lot of credit to the Atlanta Braves here, too, because as you stated in your exhilaration of calling the winning hit for Gene Larkin, this was just a spent World Series. And there's Gene Larkin hugging his wife, Kathleen, at home plate. She finally got down here. And what an embrace by those two.
Well, you know, the 7 games, we had those 5 cliffhangers. I don't know how you could have had a more closely contested World Series if you try to put everything down on paper as far as personnel. The Twins, of course, won the first game 5-2, and the Braves had a blowout in game 5, 14-5. But everything else, I mean, it was just about as close as you could get it, with 2 extra inning games. 1 game decided in the bottom of the 9th inning. And 2 extra inning games here, and 1 in Atlanta that went 12 innings.
I might add that the owner of the Minnesota Twins, Carl Pohlad, his wife Eloise, both down in the field right now, and both a part of the celebration here. Simply amazing. The Twins have won their 2nd ever World Championship, and they did it in a span of 5 years, 87 to 91.
Well, you couldn't be happier for a fellow like Gene Larkin. He's had a lot of injuries in his career, playing with a bad knee here. Boy, what a hit he came up with. Now the Twins, most of them made their way back to the dugout into the clubhouse. So, after a lapse of 3 years, the Twins have regained the World Series trophy. They are the champions of the baseball world.
And we're going right now to the clubhouse with an opportunity to see if we can pick up some of the feed here, with Jack Morris being accepted the World Series Most Valuable Player trophy. Here we go.
To a new Chevrolet Astro van that will be donated to the charity of your choice in your name. Congratulations.
Thank you. Jimmy, thank you very much.
Have you got enough strength left to hold that trophy? I mean, we talked all night. The Minnesota Twins signed Jack Morris, and the word that came into play was horse. And you were a horse that I think about 135 pitches, and it didn't appear that you lost anything.
I just didn't want to come out. The guys kept fighting. I got to congratulate the Atlanta Braves. What a great series. I mean, they fought us tooth and nail. What, 5 one-run games? These guys in this room, somebody had to go home a loser, but nobody was a real loser in my mind. It was two of the greatest teams that fought so hard all year long, and I'm just proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, nobody really was a loser. I'd like to know what it felt like. I mean, you come off the mound with an emotional inning, and yet your ball club doesn't score, and you got to dig down and go back out there again. What were those feelings like, 7th, 8th, 9th inning?
Well, there's a lot of guys that influenced me with my career about battling the guys, and don't worry about what we do offensively, because sometimes pitcher has no control over that. But perseverance, I guess. I just didn't want to quit, and somehow we fit.
All right, Jack Morris, 1991 World Series most.
All right, that's Jim Cott with the presentation of the Most Valuable Player Award to Jack Morris. Now we're going to Mike Woodley downstairs with Dan Gladden. Mike?
And I am with Dan Gladden. Dan, is it better the second time around?
I think it's nice that we had a lot of new faces on this team. It's always nice to win. I'm just glad this series is over. It was emotionally draining, and even down to the last game, I don't think anybody's really a loser here tonight.
You lead off the 10th inning with a double. Did you have any doubt with the broken bat double that you were going for two?
Well, I got out of the box real good, and I know it was in between the gaps, and it bounced, and I guess took a high hop, and I had to go for it. We've been playing aggressive baseball like that all year, so I just had to, you know, try for it, take a chance, and it worked out.
You're on third base. Larkin's up with the outfield in. What's your thoughts when Larkin makes contact off Pena?
He's hit a sack fly just like he did, and he happened to hit it deep enough to where they couldn't even make a play on it.
Go celebrate. You deserve
Thank
it.
Thank you. I will.
Let's go back upstairs, guys. That's Dan Gladden.
All right. Thank you, Mike Woodley. The celebration continues. Many of the players are still on the field. They haven't even gotten to the clubhouses yet. Kirby Puckett is still there. Randy Bush, Shane Mack, Kent Herbeck, Twins pitching coach Dick Such. It's just a wild celebration here, as expected, with the Twins winning the 1991 World Series 1-0 over the Atlanta Braves. And Herb, it's so interesting that both the two that we've talked to so far or heard from so far, Jack Morris and Dan Gladden, have talked about the fact that so much credit should go to the Atlanta Braves, because there really shouldn't be a loser in this 1991 World Series. It was really some series.
Well, that's for sure. The Twins had a great improvement. They finished last in their division in the American League, but the Braves made an even bigger improvement as far as the number of games they'd won compared to last year, when they won only 65 games, I believe, last year, and won 94 this year. Kind of a ragtag team put together. Nobody gave them much chance to do very much this year, but some of the free agents that John Schuerholz signed worked out well, like Terry Pendleton, Sid Bream, although he was hurt for a while, and of course Dave Justice, their Rookie of the Year. And the big thing with the Braves, of course, was that great starting pitching. And then when they lost Berenguer, they came up with Alejandro Pena, who had more trouble in this World Series than he'd had all year in the National League. But they are a scrappy ball club, a good ball club, and certainly I just don't see how you could have had a closer game than the one here tonight. It could have gone either way very easily.
Only the second time in the history of the World Series that a seventh and deciding game has been decided by one run in a 1-0 game. As mentioned, back in 1962, the Yankees beat the San Francisco Giants by a final score of 1-0 when Ralph Terry bested Jack Sanford in that 1-0 shutout win for the Yankees. But this is only the second time, and only the second time, that a seventh game had to go to extra innings. And you have to go all the way back to 1924, when the Washington Senators beat the New York Giants 4-3 in 12 innings to win that World Series 4-3. We're standing by at this moment. Let's go back downstairs for the presentation now. Faye Vincent to Carl Pohlad, the owner of the Minnesota Twins, with the World Championship Trophy.
Fans who are here, appreciate the effort you made and the great effort of the Braves. Two superb teams. Finally, let me say, the president wants to congratulate the President of the United States and invite you to the White House for a ceremony where he can congratulate you personally. We're delighted for you. Carl, you have my personal good wishes.
All right, thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Carl Pohlad, the owner of the Twins, and I'd like to get a word from Andy McPhail. We've shown a lot of pictures of the players, of the manager, of the coaches, but I think the man that was probably the architect of this 1991 Minnesota Twins team that took some chances and signed some players and got some money's worth with this man's money, Andy McPhail, your feelings right now.
Well, thank you, Jim. I just want to take this opportunity to thank all our scouts, our minor league instructors and managers, our front office staff, particularly Tom. His coaches did a great job, the players, and Carl, for taking a giant risk for us. I'm glad it paid off. Thanks for everything.
All right, Carl Pohlad provided the money. Andy McPhail provided the players. And Tom Kelly was the man that put the team together and ran it on the field. And Tom, your thoughts about not just this team, this whole series and this night tonight, an unbelievable scene.
It was a storybook ball game. The whole series was like a storybook, going to play it out, Chapter 7. The Braves were just outstanding. I don't know which team played better, if one did or one did not. And by rights, you probably should cut it in half and give it to half to the Braves and half to us. And they were just great. And we're just fortunate to win this ball game. It was a storybook ball series. And I'm proud of all my players, and I'm proud of the Braves. They were just outstanding also.
A very emotional embrace for Jack Morris after this game.
Back here in the radio booth with Herb Carneal, John Gordon, Ted Robinson. You downstairs?
Hello, John?
Yeah, go ahead, Teddy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that Randy Bush is here, but a couple of players just walked away. So we'll be trying our best to get our hands on somebody here in the next minute or so.
Well, there are some that are still on the field, Teddy. If you can grab them, just let us know.
And we sure will.
And butt in on us, because we do want to hear from, I see Mike Pagliarulo and Randy Bush, as you had mentioned, Carl Willis. Some of those, Chuck Knobloch still there.
Here comes our hero is on his way here right now. If we can pull him away from a rider or two. Gene Larkin is about three steps away.
All right, we'll be patient.
Hang on, here he comes.
We had to wait 10 innings for the win. We can be patient.
You waited how long for that chance to be a World Series hero?
Well, I've been dreaming about that my whole life. And I went up to the clubhouse in the sixth and seventh inning, stretching and swinging, hoping that my opportunity would come. And I knew in that inning I was going to hit for Jarvis if the situation arose. And so I was ready. I knew they were going to pinch hit for Puck and Herbie. And, you know, they wanted to pitch to me because I'm called off the bench. So I just wanted a fastball, I wanted to strike, and I wanted to hit it in the air, and that's what happened.
When you go up in a situation where there have been chances and chances and nothing has happened, how tightly are you squeezing that bat? What's running through your head?
And I surprised myself because I wasn't nervous up there. I just told myself to relax, and I've waited my whole life for this opportunity. I just wanted to swing and a strike. I wanted to get him to throw me a strike high, and that's what he did the first pitch.
You saw the ball leave the bat, and what goes through your mind?
And I knew it was over Hunter's head or in between the alley, so I knew it was a world championship for the Minnesota Twins.
What do you think about when you think about this World Series?
I just think about the tremendous game. We had 6 out of 7 tremendous games in the series, and it has to go down as one of the best of all time, and I'm just glad I was a participant in it.
It's great to see you get your chance, Gino. Congratulations.
Thanks, Teddy.
All right. Gene Larkin, the World Series hero.
Ted, where are you right now?
We are in the corner of the Twins dugout in the midst of a lot of bedlam, as you can hear, John.
Yes, it sounds like you're in the locker room.
No, we're on the field. We're in the corner of the dugout, and Mike and I are going to continue to try to round up some players as best we can, and what we'll do, John, is throw it back up to you, I think, and
okay,
we'll signal you when we have someone.
When you get somebody, just let us know.
Okay.
Herb Roy Smalley is with us right now. We'll get a microphone for Roy and get some comments and some analysis on his thoughts on the Twins World Championship.
Well, Roy, it was a great series in 1987 when you were a member of the Twins, but I don't think that we could approach this series as far as drama. I don't know how you could even equal this if you had a Hollywood script.
I think it was just a privilege for anybody that got a chance to watch this series in person. It was a privilege to watch it. What a marvelous example of what Major League Baseball is all about, and I agree totally with Tom Kelly. It's hard to say that there's a loser of this World Series. The Atlanta Braves were absolutely phenomenal. Coming here in the 7th game, and battle them to a 1-0 loss in 10 innings. Phenomenal achievement.
We'll get back to more comments from Roy, but right now, down to the dugout and Mike Woodley.
Okay, as soon as we can.
Mike, are you there? Mike Woodley.
Yes, I am here.
All right, go ahead. Do you have anybody with
yes,
you?
Yes, I am here with Brian Harper, who caught Jack Morris, the World Series MVP. And has Jack ever been tougher this year, Harp?
I don't think so. It was he was just phenomenal. I mean, he deserves the MVP, and it was just unbelievable, the pitches he was making and as strong as he was getting. It was just a historic baseball outing.
Do you think he was going on guts, or was this talent out there?
I think both. Guts, talent, everything. You know, it was just, I don't know. TK, I was thinking about taking him out, and Jack said, no, I want to go out there again. You know, and he was just phenomenal. It was a phenomenal series and just a great way to close a great series.
Got to talk about you, and it's been a great year for you, and there's been so much talk one way or the other. You reflect on this World Championship right now. What are you thinking about?
Well, I'm just so thankful to the Lord for the opportunity to be out here. Just I'm so happy. It's almost beyond words. You know, I'm just so thankful, and I think back of all the hard times and the struggles in the minor leagues and, you know, almost quitting and, you know, and just I'm so thankful to my wife and my kids and you know, just for the opportunity to, or just to, for the them helping me to persevere and keep on playing, you know. It was just such a rewarding feeling to when we scored that last run, just to everything just kind of flashed in front of me.
Guys, you got a quick question for Brian? He can hear you.
All right, Brian, this is John Gordon. Congratulations to you.
Thank you, John.
The bunt single in the 9th inning. I mean, you'd only sacrificed twice all season long, and yet you laid down just a perfect bunt. What gut-wrenching play in the later innings of this game?
Oh, I was trying to get the ball, get the guy over to second. You know, the pitcher was falling off the mound, and I just tried to kind of get it in between him and the first baseman, and just kind of worked out. And then, you know, unfortunately for us, Shane hit a ball right at the second baseman, and you know, we got a double play. But I don't know what to say. It was just unbelievable.
Hey, Brian, can you hear me? This is Roy Smalley.
Yeah, how you doing, Roy?
I'm doing great. Congratulations on a terrific year and a wonderful series for you and all the guys. Can you talk just a little bit? I watched Jack Morris pitch about the best game, just flat-out pitching of anybody I've ever seen. And can you talk just a little bit about that? The thing that separates Jack, I think, from everybody else is his refusal to give in to tough situations. And it seemed like just when the situation got really tough, he came through with some of the best pitches I've ever seen. You talk a little bit about those two innings.
It was just unbelievable. I mean, it just seemed like he reached back, and he was throwing as good in the 10th inning as he was in the first inning. He just kept reaching back and getting a little extra. And every time we got in trouble, he would just make a great pitch. We had that bases loaded, and our second and third, nobody out, and he made just two just super pitches to Ron Gant to get him to hit a little grounder to first. And then when Sid Bream came up there, he just reached back and threw three fastballs hard right by him and then dropped the forkball on him and got the double play. It was just unbelievable. I mean, Jack, his outing is just about beyond words. To come up with a game in the seventh game of the World Series and pitch like he did for 10 innings, it was just unbelievable.
Well, a lot of credit to you for catching him, too. Great job.
Thank you very much, Roy. I appreciate that.
Thanks so much, Brian. We'll let you go. Can we bring in the big train for a quick moment, guys?
Sure. You guys are calling the shots down there. That's great.
We can barely hear you guys, so if you can turn it up down there, it'd be great. Big Train, your thoughts here on this World Series?
Well, first of all, it's just an honor to be participating in a World Series, but I had to believe that certainly this was one of the most outstanding World Series ever played. I mean, every game but one was, tightly contested, and, man, it's just a thrill to be in it.
Well, they were 2-9 when they brought you up from the minors, and ever since then the team's been winning. You've had them on the right track, Big Train.
Well, I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but they carried me this far, and I'm just go, ready to come for the ride next spring.
Let's go, Carl.
Let's bring on Charles T. Yeah. How you doing, Chili?
I'm doing great.
Hey,
I want
Chili.
To say one thing.
Go
this
ahead.
Is done. It's finished. I can go home. I can take my cardiac pills and relax.
Not until you pay me some rent, Chili.
Roy.
Yeah.
Roy.
Hey, way to go, partner.
Thank you, baby. Thanks for the house.
Great job.
I can afford this month's rent now, Roy. Do you believe it?
Hey, you guys are great. It was fabulous. That house never hit like, never played like that when I was living in it.
I tell you what, I don't know what you did to it. We came in, we got all the spiders out. We got all the cobwebs out. You turned it around, baby.
Hey, Chili, I want to ask you a question. I was looking for a lot of high heat from John Smoltz when he started the game. It looked like all of you guys were, too, and he came out throwing an awful lot of breaking balls.
He threw a lot of high heat, too, Roy. And he did throw a lot of breaking balls, and he pitched a hell of a game.
He sure did.
And you got to tip your hat to him, pitching on 3 days' rest the way he did. He pitched one great game, but you also got to tip your hat to Jack Morris because he went the distance and got the win, got the MVP, and we got the ring, baby. We got the ring.
Well, enjoy it. You deserve it.
Okay.
Hey, Charles, talk for a minute. Two things I want to ask you about. First, Jack Morris. Is that one of the most incredible pitching performances you've ever seen?
That is by far the best I've ever seen any pitcher pitch. Under such pressure, he got himself in a jam, bases loaded, one out, got out of it. He didn't leave the game. I think TK went out there to probably take him out. And I can see Jack shaking his head and saying, "No way, buddy." He probably said, "You got to fight me to get me off this mound." That's just his mentality, too.
Last question, and we'll let you go find Mom and Dad. Talk about the phone call that got you here last winter and how that feels right now.
What a phone call, baby. What a phone call. I tell you what, I won't have to wait for another one because I'm not looking for another one. This is the most fun I've ever had. Ups or downs or whatever we might go through in the future, this is where I want to be.
Chili, this is John Gordon. Just very quickly before you go, did you ever have any doubt at all, like before tonight's game, before the series started, even during the ALCS?
No, Johnny. We played so well all year. I had a feeling when we went into Toronto, we were going to sweep them.
Uh-huh.
And then when we went into Atlanta, I had that feeling that it kept ringing in my head, just like 87, just like 87. And boy, did it happen just like 87.
Well, that's great. Congratulations to you.
Thank you, Johnny.
Nicely done.
Thanks so much, Chili.
Okay.
Chili Davis. And, guys, we'll send it back up to you for a couple of moments. We'll see if we can bring somebody else over.
Yeah, we're having a good time. And
it's a blast.
It's just great. Mike Woodley and Ted Robinson are down in the dugout. Herb, I'm sure you have a couple of more questions or two for Roy Smalley, and we'll wait for some more Twins guests.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about the strategy for the Braves. I wasn't surprised at all when Gladden got that broken bat double, and then Nobby bunted him over to third. And I wasn't surprised at all when they walked Puckett and Herbeck to set up the forced play situation.
Oh, I think they had to do that. The only question that I had running through my mind is whether or not they would pitch to Herbie, who obviously was struggling a little bit at the plate. They had their best pitcher out there. And you got Larkin coming up. He wants to pitch to Larkin in that situation and not Herbeck, even though Herbeck's not swinging the bat real well. But that was really the only question. That was, straight-ahead baseball at that point. You got to load them up and hope you can get out of it from there. I think the Twins had the best of that with Gino at the plate, though. A real good contact hitter. He wasn't going to strike out. And I really felt like with the infield drawn in, It was going to be pretty tough to get him to hit in a double play. I knew he was going to make contact with the ball, and I felt like the Twins had the best of it.
Yeah, okay, and in the eighth inning, a play that I was kind of surprised at, when Lonnie Smith led off with that check swing single, and then Terry Pendleton hit one in the gap. I thought Lonnie Smith should have scored on that play, but it looked like he was going to stop and look at see if anybody caught the ball.
I really don't know. I was watching the ball and Gladden going after it. The ball looked like it was slicing back toward Gladden. I thought he might have a chance to catch it for a second. So when I looked up to see where Lonnie Smith was, I couldn't believe where he was and had to stop at third. Something confused him, and I don't know what it was.
Mike Miller is our man in the street. Hopefully he is healthy and sound
yes.
right now.
Oh,
Mike,
yeah,
can you hear us?
John Gordon, it is absolutely.
Mike Miller, are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you, John. I hope you can hear me.
Twins, I might add, are taking a victory lap right now. And we're trying to go to Mike Miller outside the Metrodome to see if we can get an update on what's happening with the Minnesota Twins fans celebrating this world championship.
John, I'm standing in about, I don't know, maybe 10,000 people out here. Sixth and Chicago is an absolute zoo. We've got people on top of the streetlights. There's an MTC bus that is literally getting buried in people. They're on top of the bus. There's another vehicle that has, I don't know, probably 60, 70 people on top of it. I know the fans can hear us out here. How about this victory? I haven't heard us chant, and we're number one. John Gordon, that pretty much says it all. Thousands and... I think we should have had that extra hour to fall back on for sleep tonight because this party is not going to end.
I agree with you on that, Mike. I might add the Twins are taking their victory lap right now with the music shout in the background. And they're just kind of leaping and shouting and in rhythm to the music as they take this once around victory lap at the Metrodome. Quite a sight, huh, Herb?
I'll tell you. And Jack Morris is leading the guys running around the outfield.
Herbie and John, I think the wonderful thing about this World Series victory is that it's kind of an encore of 87 when the fans are able to participate, and how fitting that is that these fans that helped this club to such an incredible home field advantage, probably the most awesome in any sport, get to participate in the victory like they have. I think this is just wonderful.
Ted Robinson down in the dugout. Teddy?
All right, Terry Crowley is here. If ever there is an unsung hero, and there are some, and there are more than one for this world championship, batting coach Terry Crowley. He's wearing the shirt. Wiesner's got the shirts out already.
I don't know how he gets these shirts printed up in time, but he must have had a good feeling today because it's hot off the press.
How does it feel after this club hit so well all season long to have such a struggle for runs in this series?
Well, it was a strange feeling. You know, you really have to tip your caps to the Atlanta Braves pitching staff. It's apparent to see why they were here. You know, they have outstanding pitching. You know, I can't think of any team that has better pitching than they do. And at times today when it looked so bleak for us and, you know, they had us, we dug ourselves a few holes that I didn't think we'd ever get out of, but the fans were just unbelievable. They backed us so much here. It was incredible, the amount of noise and the spirit that they showed, and I think that really made the difference in today's game.
Talk about Gene Larkin's at-bat to win it.
Gene was unbelievable. Here's a guy that has a real bad sore leg, and he just got up there. He knew he had a job to do, and he put his personal pain out of the way, I guess, or whatever, and he did what we had to do. He got a good pitch to hit, and he drove it. He's worked hard. Even though he's been injured for the last week or so, he's worked hard. He's done his work, and he came through for us.
Guys, why don't you fire away up there?
Terry, this is Roy Smalley.
Hi, Roy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Not as well as you, but I'm enjoying every minute of it. Say, what did you tell the guys about Smoltz before the game? What were they looking for as far as a plan to try and hit at that good stuff? And then as the game went on, as I mentioned to Chile, it looked like he was throwing an awful lot more breaking balls than I would have expected. Did you talk at all about that during the game?
Well, yeah, he actually... tricked us a little bit. He came out in the first inning and he mixed his pitches up real well. We thought he'd come out throwing smoke for the first two or three innings, but actually he threw about half and half the first two innings, and you know as well as I, you can have all the plans you want. When he's running that fastball in your kitchen, in on your hands, and then he's throwing a slider away, all the plans you want to make on the sidelines don't help you when you step in that batter's box. And the boys battled. I'll say this, you know, Jack kept us right where we had to be. And you know, we battled. We didn't get that many. We got one run, but I'll tell you what, we were battling our butts off.
I think Mike Woodley is about to have an opportunity to talk to Kent Herbeck. Terry Crowley, John Gordon here. Congratulations to you. Just a terrific, terrific season, and it's all capped off with a world championship. And I know that, of course, right now you're probably one of the happiest guys in the world.
There's no doubt about it, John. You know, we're in a dugout right now. We're watching the fans. The fans are enjoying it as much as us. That's what it's all about. You know, we had fantastic crowds, and this place is rocking. Was rocking the whole World Series. It's still rocking.
All right, Crow, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. Congratulations.
Thanks,
thank you,
Terry.
Ted. Thank you.
All right, John. Mike Woodley, are you there?
All right, Mike. Kent Herbeck is about five steps away from us, and he's in the middle of talking to somebody else right now, but he'll be here. But, you know, guys, that Crow came over here, and we often get so wrapped up in players. What a great job this coaching staff did this year.
Well, that was one of the first things that Andy said, and, of course, he's thinking about the scouts and thinking about the coaches and manager Tom Kelly, and I agree with you, Teddy. You can't overlook the players on the field certainly did the job, but the coaches, they work just as hard, if not harder, than the players themselves, and everything that they've done to bring about this world championship for the Minnesota Twins is certainly appreciated and should be appreciated by all the fans.